Talofa, Bula, Malo. Welcome to Pacific Rugby Players Radio. All things Pacific Rugby, all things about us. A place where we take time to talk the big and small issues, share stories and have a few laughs with current and past Pacific Rugby players around the world. So whether on the team bus, driving home from training or on the physio table, sit back, chill and dig down deep on the issues that affect us. Pacific Rugby Players. Here's your host for today.
Malo elele, welcome to another PRP podcast. My name's Aidan Clark of Pacific Rugby Players, and I'm stoked today to bring you another chat around a significant activity that's happening for Pacific Rugby, and it is Youth in Union. So Eddie Aholele and Lockie McCaffrey have been doing awesome things across the Pacific and in Tonga in particular for a couple of years now, and we've been working with them and really also just admiring the great work that they're doing in the communities there through firstly collecting unused rugby equipment, clothing, boots, balls, everything, putting them into containers throughout Australia, New Zealand, and then sending them over to Tonga to distribute to kids who need them. And then they arrive over there and spend a few days or a week in the schools, running skills camps and distributing all of the equipment. A really amazing story, and like I said, I just really admire what these two gentlemen have firstly just set up out of a desire to give back, and then it's growing from strength to strength and really just having an amazing impact. Looking forward to this chat. Our chairman, Hale Tipo, and I have a good discussion with Lockie and Eddie, and I think you'll enjoy this and really just an opportunity to learn more about what these two gentlemen are doing with Youth in Union and their impact in the Pacific.
Welcome, everybody, to another PRP podcast. Here co-host with me today is our chairman, Hale Tipo, and we are privileged to have two men who are doing amazing things throughout the Pacific in Youth in Union, Eddie Aholele and Lachlan McCaffrey, joining us. Welcome, men.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having us, and well done on all the podcasts you guys have been doing the last few months.
Yeah, nice. Thanks, Lockie. We'll start with you, eh? You look like you're out on the farm there. So how's isolation life been treating you boys over in Aussie?
It's all good, bro. I'm pretty lucky we're in Canberra, so yeah, we haven't had a case for about 5 or 6 weeks, bro, so it's pretty chilled here. It's like a little country town. We've had to follow the same restrictions as New South Wales, unfortunately, because there's a little bit happening down in Sydney, but yeah, bro, it's pretty quiet here. Just trying to keep fit and back into it this week down with the Brumbies, so hopefully kick off. It just came out then that starting July 4th, so a few weeks after you boys over there, but be good to play some footy again.
Yeah, nice. That's encouraging. Eddie, what about you, bro?
Well, the first few weeks of when the restriction came out, we didn't get to work for the first 2 weeks. But then after that, we're just back to normal things. I'm here up in the Gold Coast in Queensland, and it's just pretty much still normal here at the moment. Just the gathering of more than 20 people, and that is still, that's the still restriction that we have at the moment. But I think that we are the only state in Australia that's still in the locked, locked the border and stuff like that. So we can't go in and out from the state. So it's just a bit weird in that sense. But apart from that, work life is still the same.
Yeah, but weirder, I guess it could be worse for both of us in New Zealand and Australia and across the Pacific. Could have been worse like the other places in the world.
Can't be complaining, Eddie, you're on the Gold Coast, mate. just a question to both of you, but I'll start off with Eddie. I know your family, Eddie, and all your brothers from Tonga, and I played with you for a few years for Tonga. Can you just share a little bit of where you're from in Tonga and your schooling and how did you end up in Australia? I can see that your whole family's very connected to Australia. So can you just share the where you're from in Tonga and how did you end up in Australia and just touch a little bit on your rugby backgrounds and then we'll just get a lucky after that.
I'm from a place in Tonga called Koromutua. It's right in Nukalofa, in the capital of Tonga. I was actually born in New Zealand, but my parents moved back to Tonga when I was only a baby. You know, my life in primary school, high school was all in Tonga. And I came to Australia straight from after high school, came straight to Australia, ended up at Manly Rugby in Sydney Shield and played there a few years over there. And end up at the Rebels in Melbourne for 4 years over there. And after the Rebels, I end up in the UK. And it's a bit of a delay. And now I'm in the Gold Coast. I'm in Queensland, Australia. It's just the whole, moving around and stuff like that. But, very fortunate to have the life that I have, playing professional rugby and also get to represent Tonga in the international stage. Just being thankful.
Yeah, you're back on the Gold Coast raking it, eh? Lockie?
Yeah, bro.
Just on the same to what we've asked Eddie, just tell us a little bit of your background and where you're from and then a little bit of how you where you started your rugby career. And I knew that you ended up in England and then back into the Brumbies.
Yeah, bro. I family grew up all around Sydney. One of 11 kids, 9 brothers and 1 sister. So we've got a really tight-knit family there in Sydney still. Went to Riverview and played juniors and all my rugby at Eastwood Rugby Club. Came through there. Lucky enough, played a little bit of super Waratahs and the Force and the Brumbies and then went overseas to the UK to find some opportunities. Played with the big fella at London Welsh and then luckily played at Leicester Tigers for a few years and then found my way back to the Brumbies where I'm loving life at the moment in Canberra, bro.
You haven't got any, your parents haven't got any Tongan blood in you, mate. That's what, 11 kids, did you say?
Yeah, bro. It's maybe if you go back far enough, I think I pretend I'm Tongan mate or Samoan or Fijian or something. So I've got something in me, but Eddie makes sure he knows he always calls me Palangi, mate. So I think I'm just lucky enough to grown up in a big family.
Awesome. Hey, the purpose that we've got both of you on today is to talk about youth and union. And we really want to chat about that. The headline on your website, like empowering underprivileged youth to be the best they can be through health and sport. Like, that's awesome. Either of you, tell us how that kicked off and what is youth and union?
Youth and union, like you said, it's a non-profit charity. We set it up to help the underprivileged kids and less fortunate to through sports, but mainly at the moment rugby in general. And we started when we ended up in. So I met Lockie in the UK, like Lockie mentioned. Met him in the UK. We played together there, we became really good mates, close mates, and I just like shared with him a lot of what I wanted to do, wanted to give back to my kids back home and the people, Tongan community back home. And I just shared with him a lot of what I wanted to do and things like that. And we just started from there in London, in the couch in Richmond, started talking about it. we just went from there, it's just strength to strength. And obviously with Lockie's, a lot of his network and my network through just known through rugby. And then they came through and then you guys all know that, the rugby community is a small community, but they really like to help each other when it comes to things like that.
Awesome. So that's the why. Lockie, What do you actually do for the people who aren't aware of what Youth and Union does? What does it look like on the ground? And how have you found it, bro? Like, how rewarding is it?
Yeah, bro. Then, yeah, Eddie, pretty humble when you ask about why he started it. He was so passionate about it back in 2014. And it probably took kind of 6 months of explaining to me and talking about his vision until I just got on board. And we actually did a trip, just me and him ourselves. And it was just really insightful for me, mate. Like, I probably was ignorant to kind of how far behind Tonga is. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'd been to Fiji a few times for rugby trips and stuff. And I just thought all the Pacific Islands were like Fiji with nice beaches and resorts and stuff. And you go to Tonga and you realize pretty quick that's not the case. It's a very poor country. Young boys and girls don't get the same opportunities that we get in Australia and New Zealand. And from that trip, Eddie and myself did, we just really prioritised it as a thing that we should be doing. We should be giving back as part of rugby players. We both had a good network, just as you guys with PRP. I think the rugby network is strong rugby community, but also the Pacific Island rugby community around the world is just as strong too. And as soon as we started collecting rugby kit, jerseys, everything, guys from all around the world started helping. Guys like Piri Weepu, Charles Piatau, Wycliffe Palu, Sukopi Kepu, just to name a few guys, just went straight to their club gear steward. Filled up some bags full of old kit, sent it to us, and we started pretty simply just taking kit over and taking old boots and kit over and giving it to young Tongan kids that were running around in just bare shorts with no boot shoes or team kit to play on Saturday. So it started really small. From there, I had a chat to a mentor from Macquarie Bank called Guy Reynolds. He started Macquarie Sports, who have done a huge amount of work in the Pacific and around Australia in the Indigenous community. And he said to us, there's enough people to help in Tonga, young boys and girls, to do this properly. So the next step was trying to set it up as a registered non-for-profit in Australia, which I thought would take a few weeks and ended up probably taking 12 months of a lot of time. Luckily, some lawyers in Canberra called Maya Vandenberg helped us out. They did it as part of their pro bono work and registered the charity. We set up our board with some really good members, some men and women in Australia that brought different aspects to the board. All were really passionate about Tonga, the Pacific, and helping the youth. So they were the main criteria we were looking for. And then it's just grown from there, mate. Last year was definitely the most successful 12 months we've had. We took a group of 16 members to Tonga for 8 days, visiting schools, clubs. We took over about 2 to 3 shipments of equipment and clothing, where DHL supported us there. And then we also, lucky enough, the New Zealand Embassy in Tonga saw the work we were doing and gave us a sport and support grant of about 30,000 Tongan dollars to help Eddie run it a little bit more full-time over there and give him access to all the smaller islands in Tonga that often get kind of left behind. So things are going pretty quickly. The COVID stuff has put things into a bit of a stop. We were going to go in August, and now we've had to postpone that trip, and Eddie's work with the New Zealand Embassy has had to be postponed. But, with the help of you guys at PRP and the Pacific Island guys around the world and the rugby community, things are going in the right direction, mate.
Nice. Nice, boys. Man, a lot of respect to you, Lockie. For someone who's not a Tonga and to spend, we know how much time you have to spend for this to work. You know, you can't do it half-hearted. And obviously, you know, we do work nowadays to get paid, but if you're doing this kind of work, man, with, and you not being Tongans, once I heard this, man, I was like, big props to you. And hopefully later on down the track, Eddie will give you one of his land. He's got a lot of land around Koromotua near town, so it'll be worth a while, mate. But just a funny story, you were saying, you know, when you turn up to Tonga, you thought it'd be like Fiji and that. I think 2008, my fiance back then, keep on, oh, I want to go to Tonga. And I was like, oh, nah. I just keep delaying. And then 2008, and I said, oh, all righty then. So I went to Tonga, prepare for PNC, and then she flew over. But by then, you know, when Tonga got burned down a few years back, and it wasn't fully the building and the whole town was still like, and so she turned up at the airport. I went to pick her up and I knew, I was just like, in her mind, I didn't tell her anything, in her mind, she's like, I'm going to Hawaii, man. It'd be like beach lying around there. She turned up and the first thing, man, was in the airport. She got off the plane, she wanted to get a toilet, she goes in the toilet and the whole toilet and the woman's full up with like not even flushing. She comes out running and I was like, oh, I told you. So for the whole week we went around, she's like, mate, I don't know if I'm in Tonga or in Iraq.
Yeah, bro. It's
we're slowly building, mate. But I'll keep up the good work, man. Just to Eddie, man. I've seen. I watched with my kids the Piri's Tiki Tour last night. We followed closely, and you know, just uplifting to see what you guys are doing with the kids there. Eddie, how does it feel to go back to Tonga, you know, and see the difference you're making in the youth union program are going up and making changes, changing lives?
Yeah, it's like, obviously you get a lot of satisfaction of helping, you know, others that are less fortunate. But you know, that aside, it's more about helping the, you know, the helping the people in the community back home. You just feel real privileged, and then just very thankful the guys that are supporting the work. Like Lockie mentioned before, if it wasn't for the support group and the networking and that, you know, things like these will be, you know, 10 times harder to get it up and running.
Yeah, because that'll be, suppose, man, you got to pick the right people, Lockie, to sit on the board like that. That people that, you know, understand that you got to spend a bit of time, you're not going to get paid. So that's pretty good, man, to see. Eddie, what would you like to see in the future of Tonga rugby, Pacific Island rugby, Tongan rugby? I know your brother is very vocal in trying to help out now with governance and trying to get the right people in Tonga. So big ups to Isaiah. And what would you see happening in the future?
Like to be honest, you know, I know there's a lot of that. We know Pacific Rugby can get to another level. I think, as you probably know, how me and you involved in the Tongan, the Ikaretahi, and you know, sometimes how it's disorganized and, you know, things that players truly think about, you know, when they go on the tour and prepare for a game for on the weekend, like, you know, things just a. I reckon just the people that needs to be there for the players and not for themselves. But, you know, that's, you know, easier said than done. But like, yeah, just, I think we got a lot of potential in the Pacific Island, not, you know, but just need the right people to work in within the, who are in there for others and not for themselves.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, I think. Oh, you and Hale know it really well, and our work at PRP, we also know well what really matters to the players and how much the players care about the future of not only Tongan rugby, but also in Fiji and Samoa. So again, Youth and Union plays a strong part in that. Question for Lockie. You talked a bit before about taking 12 months to set up the not-for-profit organisation, and there's a lot of moving pieces in this thing. Did you ever need any doubts and, you know, any scary parts where you're like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah, 100%, bro. There are a few times when probably I was under the pump with four or five jobs, and I'd given Eddie just one job, and he had taken a few weeks to do it, and didn't know if he was ever going to come through, bro. But nah, I think what's just important to remember. Luckily enough, I've played with a lot of good Pacific Island rugby players in England and Australia. I live with Alan Alatoa, the Brumbies captain, and a very, you know, strong Samoan family. I've always admired, mate, like why Pacific Island rugby, guys play rugby, guys and girls. And the one thing that stands out for me is they don't really play rugby for themselves. They play rugby for their families and their community. You know, in a lot of cases, financially, what they get rewarded, they give back to their families and their community. I think it's just a really cool thing that they stand for. And I've tried to, I guess, copy that in my life in terms of what I'm doing, try and remember to do it for other people in as many aspects as possible. So, yeah, bro, there were a lot of times I had to call in a lot of favours to people to, you know, hold storage or send equipment over or the amount of rugby guys I've asked for their spare boots and old clothes, et cetera, et cetera. But it's all worth it when you go over to a little school on a remote island in Tonga and they, you know, the principal comes up and tells you that they haven't had a rugby ball in 3 years or that it's, you know, the first time that their under 18 team will be able to wear the same set of jerseys in the local competition over there or little things like this. Like, you know, we've got it pretty good here in Australia, New Zealand. If you go to a private school, you know, you've got all the same set of jerseys. Kids rock up with the newest boots every year. And you, at the end of the year, you just throw the boots or shoes in a bin or something. Or, you know, they don't really go to a good use. So it's really not impacting anyone, you know, giving away old sport and sports equipment and clothing. And I think people would be surprised at how grateful young boys and girls are in Tonga, man. So, yeah, we've been really lucky. I think it's also, Eddie was saying how he loves, you know, the faces and how much it helps the community in Tonga when we come over. But on the other side of things, you know, we had 13 guys and girls from around Australia come on last year's trip. And some of them were one of them was a young kid called Harry Bodman from Canberra Grammar School. And his dad won't mind me saying this story. But, you know, the only trips they'd gone on as a family are like ski trips in Australia and overseas to Japan and America. And when you go to a private school in Australia, you're probably hanging out with a pretty nice bunch, you know. And he came over for a week and really saw the other side of life. And his old man said that it was the best week ever for him and how it's changed him as a young teenager. They couldn't be more thankful. So, you know, I know it's helping, you know, the Tongan youth, but at the same time, I think anyone that comes on a trip with Youth in Union over to Tonga and sees the work we're doing, I think it will change their lives too.
That's awesome. The to build on that a little bit around your own, both you, your personal skills and what you've learned through this, because I imagine there will be players across the world listening to this podcast who want to do charitable events, set charitable causes up. What you guys have put together is amazing. For yourselves, how's it growing you?
It's just, I think the main thing for me is getting out. Because when I grew up in Tonga, it was just in the main island. I never got outside of the main island of Tongatapu. But then when we went last year, like Lockie mentioned, when we went to Ha Bay, and then we went to a remote island there called Feremia. It's about 250 kilometers from the main island. And those kids, like, with about population of 400 people in the island, with about 80 or 90 kids in the primary school. It's just the difference that you see those kids that are probably never, some of those kids now probably never hold a football before. And then, like, you know, just the satisfaction you see them, like, just, you know, be happy of, like, we, when we showed up with the, all the kit and stuff. Yeah, it just made a lot of, it just you think back to what you grew up, you know, us here overseas or in that, you know, we have abundance of, you know, different resources that, you know, compared to those remote islands and the isolated island in Ha'apai. So yeah, it's just like, you know, you think like, you know, how lucky we are to have to what we have compared to those back in the islands.
Yeah, also, Aiden, I think it's a good question, bro, because as you guys know, I think there are a lot of rugby players doing good out there. A lot of guys that don't get the coverage or the media or just doing things in the background with youth work or domestic work or whatever it is. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of guys that aren't doing anything, that aren't using their profile to do as well as they can. So I'll just, you know, I'm sure everyone listening to your podcast is, you know, probably interested in the space that you guys are doing, et cetera, too. But I would just try and encourage any rugby guys, your careers are so short and you've got such a good network in terms of, I think 99% of people you ask for help, they'll say yes because you play for the Crusaders or you play for Bristol or Waratahs or something, you know what I mean? And, you know, use that while you can to help others. And I think you look back on your career a lot more fulfilled than just playing footy every Saturday.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, that's just one thing I admire about you guys, Lockie and Eddie. Don't want to be talking to yourself, but you know, with all the good work you're doing, you never mention, I follow your guys' work closely. I talk to Eddie every day. He's on a couple of group chat with his crap chat. But, you know, with you never mention about your guys' name or your founder or you're sitting here, you know, every time something comes out, you're just under the radar with, you know, us, and I'm sure Lockie have just from Eddie, just staying humble and that. What's your thought on that? Do we need to get your names more out and then you founded this, or you're just happy with what you're doing, which I admire, as it's probably the same value that I live by. But sometimes it could hold back the whole uplifting of the charity.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a balance, bro. I think, as you know, in the Pacific Island culture, the last thing you do is make a big fuss about what you're doing. So I don't think Eddie will naturally ever, mainly because he can't speak English, but also because culturally, I don't think he ever will, you know, he's a very humble guy. But I think, yeah, you know, it's things like PRP and you guys that are sharing it. Piri Weepu, you know, did a great job in broadcasting it on his shows and coming on the trip last year. Crusaders guys, Manasa Mataeli and his partner, Martha, came on the trip. So slowly, you know, guys are sharing it in their own way. And I think, you know, people out there that want to help will get in touch. It comes down to guys and girls showing their initiative to get in touch with us, ask how they can help, come on a trip, join us on a trip and help us coach. Or, I think people that want to help, bro, and people that are passionate about youth work and the islands will, you know, we're always here to listen and take advice, or we've never turned anyone away. I don't think we ever will. So, yeah, if anyone's out there that actually wants to help or get involved, then we're all ears, bro.
But I'll just jump in there before we wind this up. We know you guys got precious for your time, but just to back up what you're saying there, Lockie, and we discussed this a while back about how PRP can try and help and get the message out for you guys, because we believe so much in the amazing work that you're doing. But I think people got to realise what you've set up and what you're doing here, and the work that goes in, the logistics involved, the shipping for hundreds of jerseys and balls and the collection of all that sort of stuff, and then getting there on the ground, seeing the faces, spending time doing coaching clinics with these kids who are just so appreciative is massive. I would tell people out there who are listening and people out there who are connected and people who know people that are connected that you need to get amongst this. Youth and Union is doing amazing things, and there's more opportunity to do it around the rest of the Pacific. Two guys have kicked this off for the right reason. The why is there. It just needs to scale up even more. And I'm sure, and I know that we're going to try, is trying to push out there into the corporate world, because everybody can help in some way. They have connections, as you guys know, not just through the rugby world. So, and don't worry, we will push that. Any last words from any of you two about what you're doing and any thoughts?
No, bro, I'll let Eddie finish it. Just thanks for having us on the podcast. As you said, mate, the more help, the better. You know, we've had lots of help over the last few years, but, you know, could definitely get some more help as it grows, man. And the more people that get involved and support us, and at the end of the day, the more young boys and girls we can visit and help in Tonga and other Pacific countries, bro. So thanks so much for having us, boys, and hopefully chat soon.
Yeah, I know, Eddie, I've spoken to you. We spoke a couple of times just before COVID-19 hit about what's next for you guys and trying to bounce some ideas. But just to everyone out there, what's the next missions for you guys? What have you got planned?
Yeah, we were originally planned for this year to go to Wawau, and we already keep in touch with them, and obviously go to some of the little islands outside of Wawau as well before these the COVID-19 came out and all the restrictions and all stuff like that. But that's our next plan at the moment. We can't make sure of time, but then the only thing we can do now is just plan what we're doing and get the group together and things like that. And then just the date, we can't confirm any date of when we're going to go back to Tonga. But we will hopefully either the end of this year or maybe start of next year.
Hey, Eddie, I won't say the names. I've had a couple of messages from guys that are really strong upholding Wawau. How can they be separated from Tonga rugby? And I'm like, hey, I don't want to be that guy to come in. I've got no comments. But they're just like, mate, we can't just fully relying on the corruptions that's going with TRU and Tonga. They've got enough players, enough everything, resources in Wawau just to have their own separate identity. And I'm like, hey, talk to someone else. I don't want to be that guy that comes in and start war between the two islands. So you guys are doing.
Yeah, we spoke to we didn't contact the Wawau Rugby Union. We got in contact with the governor's office of Wawau. So it's a bit more so it's just less politic with all the what's going on in the Wawau rugby in it. So we went straight into them. Obviously they do what we we just ask them to if they're all okay for us to come in and do our program and just get to the kids and the youth in Wawau. You know, yeah, we were all planning while the plan was going before the COVID-19 came, with all the restriction. But yeah, we would just try to separate ourselves from, like you just said, Harley, with the TRU and with what's going on in rugby in Tonga at the moment.
Nice, boys. Lastly, tell the boys about Romania or Wales. The story about Romania or Wales.
I think you have to ring on up for that.
Hey, just to wind up, we'll leave the audience to use their imaginations on some of that. But guys, what I'm hearing is there's a couple of things we need here. I think everybody should applaud all the selfless work that you two have done to set this up. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think we need a vaccine so we can get rid of this COVID-19 and we can get on a plane and get everyone back there. And we need the rugby and the business world to support what you fellows are doing. Keep up the good work. It's good. Everybody who's listening to this podcast can probably look in the show notes and on the PRP website for the link to the Youth and Union. Get on there. If you think that you know of someone or you directly want to help, get in touch with us. We'll link you up with Lockie and with Eddie, and away we go. Awesome work, boys, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, boys.
Thanks, guys.
See you soon.
See you, brothers.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
You too, brother.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. Check out PacificRugbyPlayers.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter to stay on top of all news relating to Pacific Rugby Players and to find out when we drop our next episode of PRP Radio.